Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Well, here is not Brian Sexton. Here is Cole Pepper, because Brian Sexton and Jeff Lagerman and John Osher and Tony Boselli are traveling to Baltimore, or as they say up there, Baltimore, for the Jaguars-Ravens game tomorrow night, a 7:30 kickoff. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 4:30 with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show. So I'm in here, and I'm looking forward to this show. I think we're going to have a good time. We got a couple of topics that we'll definitely be able to get into here with the London situation, Maurice Jones-Drew. We can talk a little about what Blaine Gabbert has done. We'll hear from the former Jaguars quarterback Mark Brunell coming up here shortly, and want to get his thoughts on what he's seen out of Gabbert and how much confidence is a big part of what happens with a quarterback, knowledge of what's going on, who's around, the tools and the weapons that he has, the coaching, and also, of course, the confidence level. Because even though professional athletes will rarely say in the media that they have lost their confidence, I think you can certainly look at times where you can see that a guy, at least temporarily, isn't confident in what's going on around him. And there were times last year where I thought that was apparent with Blaine Gabbert. I remember times with Brunell it was that way, quite honestly. But this year, this preseason has been a whole different thing, and Blaine Gabbert looks like a very confident quarterback, and we'll talk a little bit about that with Mark Brunell just 10 or 12 minutes from now. Also coming up, we'll talk with Brian Sexton, who is in Baltimore, as mentioned. They've recently landed and getting ready for tomorrow's third and most important preseason game. There are some guys who won't be playing in that ball game. We'll touch on those here in just a bit. And in the second hour, Kevin Kugler, the television play-by-play man for the preseason games for the Jaguars. Kevin Harlan, who is one of my favorite all-time broadcasters, by the way, and another Kansas guy, just throwing that out there, did the first game. And then Kugler has been slated for the next three. Did last week against the Saints. We'll do tomorrow's game. And then, of course, the game against the Falcons to wrap up the preseason. As always, you can communicate. You can jump aboard here on the show at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. We can also go to the Jaguars Facebook page, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, or you can tweet to me if you prefer to tweet. You can do that at Cole Pepper. Before we get into talking about the quarterback, I do want to spend a little bit of time talking about the London situation and, of course, about Maurice Jones-Drew. Those are really the two big topics around the Jaguars right now. And while the progress of the team and the new coaching influence that Mike Mularkey has had, that's all kind of big-picture stuff that's ongoing in the preseason. The London thing and the Maurice Jones-Drew situation are the two things that I think are the most immediate. And I want to talk about those for just a bit as well. And I want to start with the London thing. And I say the London thing because obviously there's a lot that goes into this. We talked a little bit about it last night on Jaguars Reporters, John Osher and I did. There are, I would say, from what I have been gathering, now Osher said he got a bunch of grumpy fan emails in the Ozone inbox. Of course, I would expect the percentage of grumpy emails to outdistance the percentage of happy emails, because if you're happy, why would you go to the effort to email Osher and say, yes, I'm happy. But I think by and large, this is being welcomed as a great opportunity for the Jaguars, something that's just kind of neat anyway. If you're not a season ticket holder or don't go to many games, you're going to sit there and watch it. It probably doesn't affect you that much anyway. There are two things that people have worried about. Well, let me make three things that people have worried. One is that the travel is going to disrupt the entire season. Well, I talked, first of all, if you've made trips to Europe before, you know that if you fly over there, like I flew over to Europe this past summer, did not get the first class or the what do they call the business elite, the comfort elite. Let me just recommend you upgrade to that if you go to Europe, especially if you're flying one of those overnight ones. So that's one of the things that, I will be doing. The rest, if I go over to Europe, get a more comfortable seat. But the time change is a factor, and how comfortable you are as you're traveling is a factor. That's not going to be a big issue for the Jaguars. They, you know, get in the bigger plane, and they'll be ready to go to, make that stretch and travel over there. But let's also remember one thing about traveling from west to east. You lose time in your body clock, right? You leave here. Let's say it's a 6 or 7 hour flight direct from Jacksonville to London. I don't know. I'm guessing what that is. I haven't been able to find any information directly on what that flight would be for a charter. But let's say it's 7 hours. So you leave here at 9 o'clock in the morning. You've had breakfast, right? You arrive there 7 hours later, and your body. What did I say? Leave at nine. Okay, leave at 9, your body, you think it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon over there. Your body thinks it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But over there, it's actually like 5 hours later. So now you've kind of like, you think, do I need to eat another one? Do I need to eat less? I don't know where. So you've got to be, you know, plan for how you're going to, you know, travel like that. The Jaguars have an advantage here. You'll probably see a story written about this at some point in the future by somebody who will pick up on this, but I'm going to go ahead and give you the breaking news on this right now. The Jaguars' head athletic trainer, Mike Ryan, competes in triathlons all over the world. He has traveled to triathlons, so he's got a plan for this. He knows what the keys are. One of them, by the way, is all about staying hydrated. And I was having a conversation with Mike. Did you know, a little information for you, a little background, the average humidity in a plane on a flight at 30,000 feet, 2%. That's why you always feel dry when you get off a plane. When you, 2%? I'm like, that's like milk. That's not even humidity. So, obviously, you got to stay hydrated as you're traveling. This is nothing new. People know about this. But Mike Ryan has also been out to the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Colorado and discuss some of these things with other Olympic athletes. So some people will go very early to get their body clock adjusted to sleep at the right times, whatever else. Some people will go at the last minute and get off the plane, basically, and the next morning they're going to race or compete in whatever they're going to do. My guess is the Jaguars, by then, this is, of course, a year away. My guess is the Jaguars will fly out probably on an overnight flight, maybe leave on a Monday night, and arrive Tuesday morning, try to get as much sleep as you can on the flight over there, and then try to get that body clock adjusted as soon as possible after that so they can, you know, get adapted. It is a factor. The sleep and everything else can be a factor. It's not something you can't overcome. You have to plan for it. So that's one of the big things as far as the London thing. So there's the first complaint that people have, is that the travel is going to impact them, and then the Jaguars have a bye week after that. They should be fine in terms of coming back. Shouldn't be an issue at all. Number two, they say, well, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm losing a game here. That's true, but you're not paying for the game. I mean, yes. And if that's the thing that's giving you the most heartache about this, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to, you know. So maybe some people say, I've been to every single Jaguars home game ever. Well, if it's that important to you, you can not refer to this as a home game if you want, because it's not at home. Or, hey, let's get a bunch of folks together. Let's head over there, right? It'd be a heck of a vacation, and you've got a lot of time to plan. Maybe you go this year. I mean, you've got 4 years. And here's the other thing. I just think it would be a neat trip to go over there. And you have 4 years to plan for it. If you can't afford it right now, start saving, you know, slowly but surely, and then you're off and running. Finally, the other thing that people are most concerned about is, well, here the NFL has talked about, Roger Goodell has talked about wanting to have a team in London at some point, whether it's this year or next year or whenever. But at some point they want to have, and it's not going to be this year or next year, but 5-10 years down, they would like to have a team in London. This is sort of part of the thing of exposing the people of London to one particular team. It was going to be the Rams at one point. They've pulled out. Now the Jaguars are that team. So if you're a conspiracy theorist, and maybe it's not a grand conspiracy, you think, well, why would Roger Goodell have the Jaguars over there if that wasn't the team that he wanted? He's introducing the Jaguars to this to London. Why would he choose the Jaguars? Maybe not the craziest thing ever. I understand where some of that angst comes from, particularly as the Jaguars have been one of the teams that have been singled out because of bad attendance and the move to L.A. and this and that. It's not Roger Goodell's call about which team becomes the London fill in the blanks. The owner of that team has to agree. And the owner of this team is not trying to move the team, or else he wouldn't have spent the money he has already upgrading the locker room, retooling the front office with new senior vice presidents of this and that, spending money, a new team president. That's not the behavior of a guy who wants to move the team. That's the behavior of the guy who wants to improve what's happening here. And Shad Khan continues to say that what he's going to use this London experience for is not only to expand the footprint, or paw print, if you will, of the Jaguars franchise in London, in the UK, in Europe, worldwide, but also to help benefit Jacksonville businesses. When you have that kind of continual relationship where you're going to be over there time and time again, it creates a natural connection between Jacksonville and London. And Shad Khan needs to do a better job than we did with the Super Bowl to make sure that the city capitalizes on what happened. Because, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, the city did not do as good a job capitalizing on the Super Bowl as I think everybody expected and as the powers that be said they would. All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, we'll hear from former Jaguars quarterback Mark Brunell. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, continues right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. It has been a very busy week. All the talk about London and Maurice Jones-Drew and so forth. And almost lost in the transition that's happening this last couple of weeks is the Blaine Gabbert talk, which dominated the offseason for the Jaguars. I want to get some perspective on the Jaguars' second-year quarterback. So who better than the Jaguars' former quarterback Mark Brunell, who joins us now. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well, Cole. Thanks.
All right. I want to get your read. You're in town now and have had a chance to kind of keep an eye on things with the quarterback. Talk about the progression that a quarterback makes when the light kind of goes on, when the switch kind of goes and he starts to see things the way they need to be seen in the NFL.
Well, I think, that is something that progressed is. I don't know if that happens overnight or if all of a sudden you just flip a switch and things become very clear. But I think with Blaine, we're seeing it happen. We're seeing that progress. And I haven't seen every snap this preseason, but I've looked at the numbers. And clearly, some good things are happening. He's improving. And what I like to see is I like to see his confidence out there. I like his poise. He's handling situations. He's playing smart football. And so, it's good to see a young man come from his rookie year to where he's at now. We're excited.
When it's a professional quarterback, even a college quarterback, usually a guy will have a pretty good air of confidence. That's just kind of baked into that position. How important is confidence, true confidence, not just, putting off that confidence for a quarterback? You've been in that position. You've been around a ton of quarterbacks. What does confidence mean for a quarterback?
It's critical. You've got to have confidence not only in your ability. You've got to have confidence in your coaches. You've got to have confidence in the players that are around you. Your line, your receivers, running backs, tight ends, everybody. And all those factors come into play when you go out and take the field. I mean, you if you don't have confidence, if you don't feel good going in, it could be a long day. You're really tough, and that's what we're seeing out of Blaine. And he says all the right things. From what I hear inside that locker room, he's a confident kid, he's doing well. But clearly, Blaine is exhibiting some solid confidence right now.
What do you think are the one or two most important traits for a quarterback to be successful in the NFL?
You know, I think that's a great question. I wish there was just one or two, but, one, you've got to have ability. You've got to be able to make the throws. You've got to, physically be able to handle the beating that you're going to take over the course of the season. And Blaine has that, obviously. You know, and also it's getting back to, if I can mention two more. One is confidence. The games can be real difficult. You can take a drive down for a touchdown, and the next three series are three and out. So even in those moments, or even after a tough pick, you've got to keep your confidence. And obviously you've got to be a smart kid too, and be able to read defenses and anticipate, get your keys, and handle all of that. I could go on. There's more, Cole. Handling pressure. That's a big part of it too, obviously.
How about in terms of handling the off the field stuff? You're dealing with the media when things aren't going that well. Dealing with coaches criticizing you when you're looking at film and things. Can that be a factor in a young quarterback progressing?
Yeah, it's two different things. Handling the media and handling your coaches are two different things. I mean, you've got to have thick skin. You're going to get criticized. You can go out and throw three touchdowns and. No offense, Cole, but, somebody in the media is going to find out, where you might have made a mistake or, that interception you might have had in the first quarter. So you got to be able to handle that stuff. With a good coaching staff, if you have to understand that these coaches are looking out for your best interest. When you get criticized in the film room, or a coach tries to correct you or get after you a little bit, it's only to help you develop. I mean, it's only to make you a better quarterback and what I've always liked, is having a coaching staff where, you felt like the players and the coaches were in it together, that if it was a poor game or, a poor few games, that you were still connected with the coaches, that you worked well with one another and your constant goal was just going forward and trying to fix anything that might be off.
How often does that happen?
You know what? There's I think it does happen, not on every team. It obviously starts with the head coach, and it obviously you have to have some coaches that care about the players, that are competent enough to put the quarterback in the right situation. And I think that's what's happening down there at Everbank. I mean, Mike Mularkey is a great hire, a great coach, a great man, and it seems like everything's really come together. The players love working with him, and I think he's a great head coach, and I think we're going to see some really good things out of his team this year.
Now, I agree with you on what Mularkey has done, setting the environment here, but let me play devil's advocate for a moment.
Sure.
What we haven't seen is this team truly in a crisis situation. They haven't really been put under the pressure cooker of whether it's losing a game in the regular season or even being down in a game that really matters when it comes down to it. Isn't that when you really, when having the right environment and having the right sort of team mentality, isn't that when it really matters?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Cole. And we don't get to see that right now. We're not in regular season yet, and everything has been great offensively, and good things are happy, obviously. So, we're thrilled about where they're at. But you're right. I mean, there are going to be some bad offensive days. There are going to be some games that the Jaguars lose, and there's going to be some adversity. You just can't get away from it. And only then will we find out what these guys are made of. And the ability to handle a loss and difficult situations, injuries or whatever, that'll make or break a team. But only time will tell. But it sounds like everybody, the guys on the team, they have great character. They're working hard. They believe in one another. And so we have every reason to believe that at this point, things are looking very good.
From an offensive standpoint, I want to make a comparison between what may be happening this year with the Jaguars and your breakout season in 96, particularly in terms of the passing game. Obviously, having Tom Coughlin at the top, a lot of passing game background and so forth. But as I recall it, you guys really started to break through once you know, Jimmy Smith kind of established himself along with Keenan as the receivers. You know, and it was a, it was two-thirds of the way maybe through the season before things really started clicking, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cole, we were, I believe at one point, we were 4-7, and, you know, things weren't looking good as far as the playoffs were concerned. I mean, it wasn't pretty. And, you know, it was at that point of the season that guys really came together. We started making plays, and we just kind of went out there and played. And I think Jimmy was coming along, and obviously Keenan, he is, you know, he had a good season the whole year, and something just kind of clicked. We got on a little roll. We got some momentum, you know, but it was at that midpoint season about that things weren't looking good, but there was enough character on that team. Obviously, we had a very good coaching staff, and we were able to turn it around.
Specifically thinking, though, about the passing game. Because you had put up some big numbers earlier that year in games, but what was the difference between putting up big numbers and, you know, and winning ball games? Was the passing game consistent all year, or did the passing game become a bigger factor, as you recall, back in 96, you know, in November and December?
Yeah, Colby, you know, the beginning of the year, you know, big passing numbers aren't tough to get, particularly when you've lost a lot of games. And you're trying to come back, yeah, you're behind, and so you're having to throw it for the sake of the clock and getting some big chunks of yardage. So, you know, we did have some numbers, some guys, you know, our guys, Jimmy and Keenan, had a lot of receptions, but a lot of it was a product of us just being behind and losing games. And it wasn't until we were more efficient, you know, in the beginning of the games when we were, you know, more confident, things were coming together. You know, that's when we kind of got into a little rhythm. And I think if you look at the different statistics from the first half of the year to the second half, you know, we still put up some yards, but you know, they weren't come from behind yards, which makes all the difference in the world.
How much of a chance have you had to watch this Jaguars passing game in the preseason, the first couple of games?
You know, not a lot. I've seen the highlights. I haven't seen every snap. You know, I've looked at the numbers. I think Blaine's QB rating is, you know, 120 something. His completion percentage, I believe, is 69%. Now Thursday's game, you know, tomorrow night's game is going to be big. You'll have three quarters, and I think that's going to be a true indicator of really where they're at. Their starters are going to be in the field. So as excited as we are right now about everything going on with the Jaguars, tomorrow night is huge. And so I think we'll get a better feel for where they're at.
Are you done playing?
You know, I'm not, Cole, I'm not officially retired. I'd like to get on, you know, over the course of the year. You know, I'd get banged up and bring in some, you know, some free agents. I'm going to stay ready. I'd love to play one more season and then come back to Jacksonville, but I'm going to stay ready and see what happens.
How do you stay ready when you're not in the camp?
You know what? When you're 41 years old, camp is counterproductive, and so this is, so I throw in the mornings, run, lift, you know, all the you know, things that every free agent that's not with the team is doing right now, and you do your best, and hopefully you get a phone call.
Who are you throwing to?
You know what? I've got some great receivers over at Providence High School right now. These guys can catch the ball, so I'm using those guys.
There you go. And I'm sure the heat doesn't bother those guys much at all.
Oh, no. Well, no, they're 16 years old. Yeah. They're just fine.
Nothing bothers them. Mark, thanks for chiming in today. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we'll be keeping an eye out for you. I'm as you know, every year guys are getting dinged, and so we'll see if you get a call. We'd love to see you back out there on the field. And otherwise, we look forward to seeing you here at the stadium.
Cole, I appreciate it. I enjoyed talking with you. Take care.
That's former Jaguars quarterback Mark Brunell. More Jaguars this week presented by Aetna when we come back right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper here in for Brian and Jeff and Tony and John. I don't have to do my impressions of all four of them while I'm doing the show, do I? Because Linda Fortunato is in for Joe Fortunato, so that's an upgrade. We know that. But coming up in a bit, we'll check in with Brian Sexton, who is in Baltimore, of course, getting ready for the game tomorrow. Also, Kevin Kugler, who is the TV play-by-play guy for the next couple of games, did the Saints game as well for the Jaguars for this. Great to hear from Mark Brunell. Interesting thoughts, I think, on his point about how important confidence is for Blaine Gabbert, how big a deal that is. And I think clearly we can see that Gabbert is getting more confident. Last thought on the London situation, then I'll get to the Maurice Jones-Drew situation. Had a question on what the process was going to be for choosing the away team to pair with the Jaguars. It'll be a different team each year. One thing we know, it's not likely to be a division team. Probably not. They haven't said completely they're going to rule it out, but it's not likely to be an AFC South team. So you probably are not going to see the Colts or the Titans or the Texans. You probably will not, although it's not impossible to consider, because San Francisco made that trip last year, probably will not be a West Coast team. So what we're looking at probably is an East Coast team or maybe a Midwest team and not somebody from the AFC South. I would also expect that it would not be the kind of team that would almost automatically sell out a game in Jacksonville. So Steelers, probably not going to be the Steelers. Although I know at one point they were talking about playing a Steelers game in Ireland. You have the connection there with the Rooneys, where Mr. Rooney is named as the U.S. ambassador to Ireland. So, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen now. In fact, I asked Commissioner Roger Goodell when he was here in town whether, with all this talk about there being multiple games played over there, whether you're talking about doing them all in London or moving them around. And it's not just 4 years, by the way, with the Jaguars. The expectation is that they'll play two games a year in London in the regular season, not the Jaguars, but the NFL. So you'd have four teams who would be playing each year in London as they try to – I mean, basically what they're doing is trying to till the earth, you know, to plant the seeds of the NFL there, and I think they've been doing that with some of these previous games. But the team that the Jaguars will play probably will be announced in October, November. It'll be named before the schedule comes out. So that means it's not going to be one of those teams that are decided based on where you finish in the division. We already know most of the Jaguars' opponents for the next several years because it's part of a formula with the NFL where you rotate through playing teams, you know, which divisions you'll face in the NFC and the AFC. I'll be looking forward to seeing who it is. I think it's kind of incidental to the whole story, you know, all right, who it is. Unless it's – if the Jaguars play the Giants, all right, there's the Coughlin connection. If the Jaguars play whoever the Super Bowl champions would be, that would be a connection. But we'll see when that gets named. All right, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Maurice Jones-Drew. One of the things – I don't know if I have enough time to do this here because I do want to get to Sexton here shortly. But in general, and I'll touch more on this in the second hour, Maurice Jones-Drew, I'm not hearing a whole lot of support for him in the community. I wonder if he expected that. I wonder if he thought that part of his leverage, whatever that leverage was going to be that he was the most popular player on the team, that he was the favorite guy, 32 jerseys in the crowd at Everbank Field in any given game. I remember I did a jersey count one time before a game. This was 2 years ago. And it was like 44. This was just in one parking lot. 44 Jones-Drew jerseys. And nobody, only one other player had more than two jerseys out there. And that was Josh Scobie, who was, you know, second most popular among the jerseys in that area. So I wonder if he expected that there would be more public pressure, more sentiment would be on his side. If he did, he certainly didn't accurately gauge how things were set up and the environment, not only in the nation but in Jacksonville, and also with regard to how people are feeling about this team. You know, and I guess it's understandable to a certain extent. You say, listen, this team has been struggling. The fans are upset. They basically made it known that they didn't like having the former coach around. The team's been sold, so Wayne Weaver, who's, you know, by and large a beloved figure in Jacksonville, he's no longer the owner. Here comes in this new guy. What kind of investment would the Jaguars fans have in this new guy's money? Why would they care? There's salary cap room. I led the league in rushing last year. I'm the most popular. Like, all these things, and you can start to over-evaluate and overestimate what they mean, and you start to delude yourself a little bit. I'm going to get into that more in the 7 o'clock hour, but that is certainly something I think may have happened in the course of this. Or it may just be all posturing because negotiations and then, you know, going from pride from there. We'll take timeout. More when we come back. We'll check in with Brian Sexton in Baltimore. Also still to come, Kevin Kugler will join us. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become a Jaguars multi-year season ticket owner in return for a cash referral fee. Yes, you can make money. For more information on joining the Refer a Fee program, call the Jaguars ticket office at 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Football Fanatics. Back with more after this timeout right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna here on a Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, Jaguars in Baltimore to take on the Ravens. 7:30 kickoff, 4:30. Our coverage begins with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. Let's get fashionable now as we check in the land of crab cakes with Brian Sexton, who's getting ready for tomorrow's game.
I'm actually getting ready to go eat crab with a bunch of these guys.
Even better. By the way, I have only been to Baltimore in the area once, but I was up there. You'll remember my old radio partner, Chris McLean. He got married up in that area. And I wound up, my wife and I ate crab something at every single meal for like 2.5 days, like breakfast, you know, crab omelets, crab bisque at lunch, crab cakes, dinner. It was fantastic. It's
so memorable you can still taste it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be good. All right, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about tomorrow's game, but the other two topics that are really obviously hot right now are London and Maurice Jones-Drew. Let's start.
Which one do you want to address first?
Let's go London first.
Okay.
The only objections that I'm really hearing from most people are, number one, that they're afraid that the travel is going to mess up the Jaguars' season if they're having a good season. That, you know, adjusting to that kind of travel there and back is going to be a problem. Two, that they're losing a game if they're a season ticket holder, one fewer home games to enjoy. And number three, that it's laying the setting the table for the Jackson or for the London Jaguars.
I'll buy one and two as legitimate concerns, but I don't think three is at all, Cole. You know, if people didn't believe it when Shad Khan said he was committed to the marketplace, the $3 million that they spend in the locker room, you know, is that first step towards, oh, wow, they're investing in the franchise here. You know, people may say, well, look, he's worth billions. What's $3 million? You know, they're going through the planning process right now and evaluating whether to spend between $10 and $15 million to build an indoor practice facility and everything that goes along with that. So they are, to my knowledge, and I obviously have a little bit more than the average fan walking around on the street, but I will tell you, to my knowledge, they are committed entirely to making it work here in Jacksonville. Now, he's a businessman, and he's never going to rule anything out. And, you know, if you go through a run where people don't buy tickets and it's not profitable, well, you know, I mean, you know, restaurants don't sell steaks, then restaurants have to close. But I just don't see that. One and two, I get. You know, losing a game, yeah, okay, you know, that stinks. But the other side of the coin is this, that what really this is about is partnering. You know, I've been saying for years that Green Bay has Milwaukee, which is a top 30 market, and the entire state of Wisconsin, plus 80 years of history. And Jacksonville doesn't have that. I mean, we have the northeast corridor there of Florida. We really don't have South Georgia. I mean, the Falcons have had that for years. And when you go west, you have, you know, the Gators and the Seminoles, and there's not that much. All of a sudden now, you've got the league invested in your franchise and London. I don't see where that's a negative thing. I see where you now have a group of people that make this team's flavor international. So they go play a game. We're not talking about two. We're not talking about four. And people may think, well, we're going to get there eventually. I don't see it that way. I see this as the Jaguars going and playing a game over there a year and giving them the distinction of being the international team. And I think that's important for people to recognize, because right now Jacksonville's just that little small market team that has won one playoff game in the last 10 years.
Yeah, doesn't get much attention for almost anything.
No, anything. And now you're going to get a lot of attention, and I think that's really important for the franchise.
One of the things that the Jaguars are getting attention clearly is this Maurice Jones-Drew situation, but it really didn't get a lot of situation until, you know, yesterday, when after Shad Khan made his comment, and I was standing right there when he made it, that seemed to be a very innocuous comment about the Jones-Drew situation. Mark, and I'll set the stage for everybody. After the press conference down at the University Club with the NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, with Lieutenant Governor Carroll, with Shad Khan, with Alvin Brown, the mayor, with, you know, all these dignitaries down there. Afterwards, we break up, and it's not really one-on-one, but it's sort of group interviews, and a bunch of us are gathered around Shad Khan, and Mark Long with the Associated Press is asking about the Maurice Jones-Drew situation, and basically, Shad's saying the same thing. He said there hasn't been much of a change. It's, you know, it's up to Maurice when he wants to get in here. You know, basically, it's, you know, the bus is leaving the station, so run and get on, which to me was sort of an urging, like, hey, come on, we're moving. You know, time waits for no man. Let's go. Let's, you know. And for whatever reason, it was Maurice Jones-Drew's agent who decided that this was some kind of a shot across the bow.
Well, and he made it a shot across the bow, Cole, for the obvious reason that they don't have any leverage. Yep. I mean, they have zero leverage, and they've lost whatever little bit they thought they had in terms of public sentiment because Maurice is such a popular player, but they've lost it through this holdout because he didn't show up at all. So what they were doing yesterday, at least the way I see it, is that became a flashpoint, and he was going to try to drum things up and rally something and use it. Of course, you know, you see this morning Steve Wyche on NFL Network is reporting that Maurice would be open.
Well, of course he would.
Mending fences. Well, of course, because it didn't work.
Yeah.
They have zero leverage in the deal. Khan said yesterday in the newspaper, and I think it's important for people to realize, that he's had these kinds of labor issues, you know, in countries not as developed as the United States, where things get violent. He talked about that.
Yeah.
So this is nothing at all. It's a guy that has a contract that's not honoring it, and he's not going to let it get in the way of what he's trying to do with his franchise. And you know what? Maurice and his agent, they played the hand and they lost. And to my way of thinking now, it's time to come in and play, because there's $13 million on the line for Maurice that he stands to lose. He's a running back. He's 27. Cole, he'll never get it back.
Yeah, and every game you miss is one game you can't play, not only for the money, but just, you know, for the opportunity to play and to pile up those stats. And if Maurice Jones-Drew still feels the same way as he did in the offseason, where he said he wanted to, you know, approach Emmitt Smith's numbers, then you can't afford to miss any games.
Yeah, I it's so obvious to you and me, and look, it's his life and his decision. And, you know, Vito Cellino has tweeted, and rightfully so, that he doesn't ever have to play another game. But you know he wants to. He's that kind of a competitor.
Yeah.
And he's just it's time to admit, you know when to hold him, you know when to fold him. Time to fold up and come back to the table.
All right, Brian, quickly, tomorrow night's game against the Ravens. The Jaguars are getting a pretty good litmus test in all these preseason games. I mean, all four games are against teams that, are going to be picked or have likely been, picked. The Saints are kind of a question mark based on their coaching situation. But everybody, they've got all these teams have playoff talent that they're going against. They're getting some pretty good tests here in the preseason.
You know, Mike Mularkey told me when we taped his television show yesterday that he wanted this Ravens game on the preseason schedule more than anything, A, because they're a 3-4 team, and B, because it's Ray Lewis's team.
Mm-hmm.
And the intensity level in a game in which those guys are going to play longer really notches up. So this is a game that they wanted. It's a game that they've got, and I'm looking forward to it.
And the Ravens, by the way, there are a number of players who are still not happy with what the Jaguars did to them last year when they thought they should have rolled over the Jaguars on that night game, but instead the Jaguars got the unexpected win. So, all right, Brian, tomorrow night, 7:30 kickoff, and we'll hear from you certainly on the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show starting at 4:30. Enjoy the crab, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Cole. Thank you.
All right, that's Brian Sexton, the voice of the Jaguars, and joining us here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right around the corner, Kevin Kugler, who is the play-by-play man on the TV side for three of the four preseason games for the Jaguars this year. We'll get his thoughts. He does a lot of national broadcasts and radio, so we'll get kind of a feel for what he thinks the national look is about what's going on here with the Jaguars, with the London thing, the Maurice Jones-Drew thing, with Blaine Gabbert, and more. Kevin Kugler right around the corner, and we'll take your calls in the second hour. Plus, we're going to have some fun and a chance for you to win and show that you're all in. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper in for the guys who are off in Baltimore, as you just heard from Brian Sexton. Comments from Brian about what's going on. I tweeted earlier, by the way, a question that I saw on John Osher's online live chat. I liked it so much I stole it, or, as some would call it, I adopted the best practice. And have that, and that was who's been the Jaguars' preseason MVP. Some folks saying Blaine Gabbert, some saying Justin Blackmon. I think the guy who's been the Jaguars' preseason MVP so far, and admittedly, I'm also including the practices and the scrimmage and so forth that not everybody has seen, but I've been out there for. I think Rashad Jennings has been the preseason MVP. I mean, he has looked terrific from the get-go. He was a guy who last year, had the rules been different, had the injured reserve list rules been different, he was a guy who probably could have come back in November. But instead, you put a guy on IR, he's done for the year. Personally, I like to see him change it where you can carry one guy on a 6-week IR kind of thing, sort of like baseball has a 15-day disabled list and a 60-day disabled list, to allow a guy who has a little bit more of an injury an injury that would heal, doesn't have to be gone for the whole year. But anyway, that is not the case. However, he could have probably come back last year, but he is in such great shape, and to me, he's been the MVP of the Jaguars preseason thus far. Jaguars This Week Extra, presented by Aetna, continues, and we bring in the guy who's been calling the action on TV in the preseason, last week against the Saints, and again tomorrow, and wrapping it up next Thursday against the Falcons. That is Kevin Kugler, who joins us now from Baltimore. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. I want to get your perspective, because you do a lot of national games. You travel around a lot doing the different broadcasts on radio on Sunday afternoons, and what is the nation right now thinking about what's going on with Maurice Jones-Drew and the Jaguars?
It's interesting. I've been surprised by the reaction. Usually when you see a prominent player in the midst of a holdout, the player seems to get a good portion of the sympathy and of the fan feelings, and I don't sense that in this one. Not that anybody's really angry about it, but I think people are looking at this situation and they're saying, well, yeah, you probably ought to just get into camp then. And I'm very surprised by that, because I expected that there would be a lot of people, because we tend to kind of go on the side of the so-called little guy, even though, both physically he's a little guy. But when you're going against the ownership, the big bad corporate ownership of times, people tend to lean towards the player versus the owner. And I really don't sense that in this. To a man, everybody I've seen, heard, and talked to has said, yeah, he probably ought to get into camp. He doesn't really have a whole lot of legs to stand on right now.
What in the world part of Baltimore are you in? I hear the police sirens behind you. What the? Is that the Kevin Cooper escort?
Right?
What is that?
I'm a kid from small town Nebraska, so I'm ducking and covering right now. No, we're in the Inner Harbor, and I am outdoors at the moment. And apparently there's an emergency somewhere in Baltimore, so I apologize for the noise. I'm in a relatively safe part of Baltimore, though, so that's at least good.
Stay safe, and if you have to, just duck behind some crabs somewhere. You'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
The thought here about Maurice Jones, I mean, you saw the Jaguars last week against the Saints. You've been preparing for doing these games and spent a lot of time. If you had never heard of Maurice Jones-Drew, would you have thought that the Jaguars were a team that were really missing their running back, watching how the offense worked?
No, not at all. And that's, I think, the thing that should startle him the most, is that you look at the way this offense is working right now, and I realize it's the preseason, and so before we start planning the Super Bowl parade to go down the streets of Jacksonville, I mean, it is the preseason, but when you look at this offense and the way they clicked last week and the way they clicked on their opening drive when the ones were in week one, you have to say that right now with every carry Rashad Jennings has, with every carry Montel Owens has, with every successful 4 and 5 yards gained on the ground, it becomes very difficult to see anything that the Jags are missing right now. Now, that said, they're better when he's there. He's a great running back. But without him there, I don't think you have to sound a whole lot of alarms like people might have thought 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And not only that, but the way Gabbert's been throwing the football with Justin Blackmon doing what he's doing with the offensive line that's basically been patchwork. I mean, guys playing in different positions. Cameron Bradfield didn't start the year thinking that he was going to, you know, that people weren't saying, oh, he's your right tackle. They thought Evan Britton would be back, then they had to move people around. And now instead of playing right tackle, he's over on the left side because of Monroe. And, I mean, it's been sort of a shell game with the offensive linemen. But, again, if you didn't know who was supposed to play where, you wouldn't think that that offensive line was having any kind of issues. It kind of confounds me that there haven't been more leaks, with the Jaguars in terms of things obviously looking out of place with that offense this year, considering how bad they were last year.
Well, and I agree with you. I saw them a couple of games last year. We did a couple of games for national radio, and that offense was absolutely putrid at times. I mean, they couldn't, and you know this, you saw all the games. Yeah. They could not move the football. And this year, at least in the preseason, I think it all starts with that offensive line. And as you mentioned, patchwork, but you've still got 4 of the 5 expected players, certainly in different positions perhaps, but they're out there in that offensive line, allowing just 1 sack in 2 games, which I think is impressive because they faced some decent pressure, especially in that first game with the Giants and that terrific defensive line that New York's going to put on the field this year. The offensive line, though, has done more than just protect Gabbert. They've opened up holes for that running game, and the backs have taken advantage of it. It's been some smart running by the backs that the Jags have had in that backfield, and I really think you have to give credit as well to the tight ends and to the receivers for the job that they've done, for the most part, in blocking downfield on those runs. I think it's been a very impressive start to the preseason because so many different parts appear to have bought into the plan from Coach Mularkey and this offense that we're all going to try to get this thing going in the right direction. Gabbert has been extremely efficient. They're very good on third down when he's in there early in these games. It's just been one of those sort of total team efforts that you see early in times when a new coach and a new staff takes over, but there seems to be about 100% buy-in all the way around on this offense, and that's a great sign for Jaguars fans.
All right, I am absolutely going to start planning the Super Bowl parade if you can't tell me something that you're concerned about with this team right now. I mean, where is their concern? What is it that you say, well, that could be a problem?
Here's a couple of concerns. One, do you have the deep threat that you need in the passing game? I know Justin Blackmon is a stud. I saw him play a lot living in the Midwest. You see Justin Blackmon play all the time at Oklahoma State, and the kid he's the real deal. Is he a deep threat against NFL corners and NFL coverages? I don't know. That remains to be seen. Is LaRon Robinson going to be able to duplicate the season he had last year? Well, we've not seen that much yet in the preseason, but there's always the season to come. I think a deep threat is one of the things that you can be concerned about. And secondly, do you really buy the running game to be this effective over the course of a 16-game season? I don't know that I do completely yet. It's been better than expected without Maurice Jones-Drew, but is it going to be able to hold up over the course of 16 games? And then the third thing is the depth in that offensive line. I think 4 out of the 5 guys in the line are good. I think you're going to get these guys back, and I think by the time the season starts, the line will look intact from a starter standpoint. But are you comfortable with the depth? Can you sustain that level of protection and run blocking if you lose a guy or two during the course of the season, as you're wont to do during the course of any NFL season? Those are the three things right now that, you know, I still want to see answered from this offense before we get that ticker tape order.
I'm really sorry you came up with those. I was going to start making plans down which street and turn left here and turn right there, and I'm going to set up a chair here, but I guess we'll wait a couple of weeks.
Give me a percentage of the T-shirt concessions, would you? I mean, if we're going to print things, let's get the T-shirt printed.
Let's get it started.
Let's get it going.
All right, now you're talking. All right, Kevin Kugel will be calling the game tomorrow with Tony Boselli. Try not to, get in Boselli's way when he gets going. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Then, of course, next week as the Jaguars wrap it up in the preseason against the Falcons. Kevin, thanks for checking in, and enjoy the crab cakes.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, that's Kevin Kugler joining us here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. All right, when we come back, I'm going to give you a chance to win, and I'm also going to talk a little about the Maurice Jones-Drew situation. We're going to have some fun with a chance for you to win. Prove that you're all in, and I'll tell you how you can do that. And also, a little more about this Maurice Jones-Drew situation. I'm going to go historical on you, and I mean revolutionary historical, to make a point about where things are going. I'm just not hearing a lot of folks who are, as Kevin was saying, siding with Maurice. If there are some out there that are, I'd like to hear from you as well. Back with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Before the Jaguars and the Ravens tomorrow night, we have another, 43 minutes to spend time together talking about the Jags. Stick around, more to come right here on Jaguars. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper in here for Brian and Jeff and John and Tony. You know, remember the Herschel Walker trade where the Vikings gave up all these draft picks to get just the one guy? I feel like Herschel Walker. I'm the one who's been traded for these other four guys. It probably works the opposite way, but we're going to get into Maurice Jones-Drew here in just a second. We'll take your calls at 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. Also, in the last half hour, I'm going to give you the heads up right now on how you can win an all-in Jaguars t-shirt. As you know, a t-shirt is the most powerful thing on the planet. When it's a free t-shirt, I've seen people elbow infants, claw their way over infirmed grandmothers, and shove down spouses just to get to a free t-shirt before. We have an actual official all-in t-shirt for you. And you'll have the bragging rights of your friends if you can prove you're all-in. And here's how you'll have to do it. You've heard the all-in commercials. You just heard one with Mike Mularkey a moment ago. I want you to write your own all-in commercial as a fan. And there are a number of different ways that that you could do this. I want to give you a couple of examples here about how it might sound, ways that, you might kind of write. You basically, if you're going to write it, you might do it now, and then after the bottom of the hour, we'll take your calls, and you can. We're going to actually play the music for you. We're going to play the music, and you're going to have roughly 24 seconds worth of time to actually say this. So if you want to time it out, practice it yourself. Linda, let's play the music for him real quickly. Here's the music that you're going to play, that we're going to have for you. If you want to do your own all-in commercial, we'll play it at you. Call in, and then we'll cue the music. Right, this is your all-in music. I think this is the one from the Poslesny commercial. Inspiring, intense, right? This will get you fired up. So, and of course, you have to end it with, "I'm Nick from San Marco, and I'm all in." Try to time it up. Again, 24 seconds or so is how much it is. Let me give you an example of what it might. You can have fun with it. You can be serious. You can talk about how intense you're going to do. And if I were going to do one of these, it might sound something like this.
It takes ribs, pork, and chicken. Nobody will work harder than me to eat barbecue on game day. I'll endure call after call after call after call after call from fans who can't imagine why the Jaguars ran a draw play on 3rd and 41. I spend every day of every week getting ready to introduce the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I have to look at John Osher for an hour every week. I'm Jaguars Radio Network studio host Cole Pepper, and I'm all in.
All right, that might be what you'd want to do. And so you could go more serious. We've got a couple of other examples we'll play here for you in a little bit, but that's just sort of the way you want to do. And again, the best one, now you can do this. You can also win, if you go on the Jaguars Facebook page, I think you have until midnight tonight, you can do your all-in video commercial as well, and you can win big prizes there too. But this is a chance for you to just write it quickly, match it up against those all-in commercials, and we'll be off and running. Okay. Here's my thought on the Maurice Jones-Drew situation. First of all, I don't begrudge Maurice for wanting more money. Again, we all want more money. But if I can take a step back, and if those of you who are like to read about history, David McCullough is a terrific historical writer. And he wrote a book called 1776 about the American Revolution. And one of his observations he made in that book was about George Washington, saying that Washington's great strength came from the fact that he saw himself as he truly was, and he saw situations as they were, not as he would like them to be. Again, he saw himself as he was, not as somebody else thought he should be. So it's sort of that clarity of perspective, something that, that separated Washington from others. And I think to some extent, some of that maybe, you know, the lack of that may be happening in this Maurice Jones-Drew situation, whether it's Maurice, whether it's his agent, what have you. But I think he overvalued his position, and by that I mean position of running back. Even as a guy who's a terrific running back and led the league in rushing, I think he overvalued how that position is being viewed now. I think he overvalued his impact on ticket sales. How much, you know, again, in the past, there's been a changing culture with his franchise. It's not that the Jaguars don't want to continue to sell tickets. Of course they do. But there was such a panic feel before, got to sell tickets, got to sell tickets. I think with the new ownership, with deeper pockets, it's not as big of a factor that it's, you know, yes, they're going to sell tickets, but they're not going to have a countdown to the blackout every week. That's not going to happen. So there's been a change in the franchise culture, and he's not been here, so maybe he doesn't see that as clearly. I don't think that he necessarily has tapped in. I'm certain that he's hearing, I don't know this empirically, but I'm certain that he's hearing from, I know teammates have talked to him, about what it's been like here and how this is such a we mentality now with this team. Mike Mularkey has done just a wonderful job to create that we mentality for this locker room. So he's going to have to adjust to that. And frankly, now pride and ego, I think, have gotten in the way. Now, that all being said, I think that Maurice Jones-Drew is likely to come in soon. I think if... It just seems so obvious that the Jaguars are not buckling, that the Jaguars aren't changing their position, that he's going to finally come. Maurice is a smart guy, and not just a smart guy for a football player, but, you know, listen, you can carry on an intelligent conversation with the guy. He's not some dumb jock, okay? I think he has to know, whether he's admitting it to himself or not, he has to know that the Jaguars aren't budging. And this whole thing about Maurice would be open to a trade, well, sure he would. I mean, again, it's just a ploy. It's posturing for the sake of trying to get something going. And there's a report today that there are teams contacting the Jaguars about that. Well, okay, teams see the report that Maurice would be open to the trade. Maurice doesn't have to be open to the trade. He's not the general manager. Gene Smith would have to be open to the trade, and Gene Smith isn't going to trade Maurice Jones-Drew. There's no reason to. I mean, literally, there is no... leverage that Maurice Jones-Drew has in this thing. And I will tell you this. Well, I'm just painting a hypothetical example. Let's say Maurice comes in this week, plays a little bit in the last preseason game, splits time the first couple of weeks with Rashad Jennings. If he does well, it all is going to be forgotten and forgiven. I mean, it's just, you know, but I do think it's a dramatic and interesting thing that so few people seem to be picking sides with Maurice Jones-Drew. There are some who aren't picking sides at all, and there's some who are siding with the Jaguars, but nobody really seems to feel all that sorry for Maurice. There's not a lot of a groundswell of public sentiment. Part of that maybe because Rashad has looked good running the football. Part of that's maybe because people are in this environment where the economy has forced us all to feel a little different about financial security and so forth. Maybe it's because they feel differently about the fact that there's a the direction the team seems to be taking. But there just hasn't been a lot of folks, there have been a few here and there, who will always say, pay the guy. Haven't been a lot of folks doing that. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. Let's go with John, who's up here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. John, how you doing?
All right, buddy. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, the thing about Maurice Jones-Drew, and, you know, we all love him, and, you know, and we do. And, you know, he was the face of the franchise. But now he's being not the face of the franchise, and he's doing, you know, things that we don't like. And he's making comments that we don't like.
What are the comments that you're not liking about? I mean, and is it because he's just not here with the rest of the team is that the actions you don't like? And what are the comments you don't like?
Well, one of the comments he made, and this was before, when he made the comment about being the, you know, that he could be the leading rusher of all time. There's no way he could make that.
That's fine. I mean, wouldn't you want him to try if he's?
Oh yeah, I'm not a fan. No, I'm not saying that. But I mean, I don't think he has a chance to do that. And the other thing is, you know, if we had a guy that I think we do, that when could he put his pads on if he hasn't played?
It's 3 days without pads before you put the pads on with the new collective bargaining agreement. So if he's going to come
Fred Taylor could put his pads on Sunday or Monday, right?
Well, if he came into camp, if Maurice reported to camp on Sunday, let's say. Just,
you didn't hear me.
You heard Fred Taylor. Yeah, I heard you. Freddie's not putting the pads on.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah, trust me. Freddie isn't putting the pads on. John, thanks for the call.
Buddy.
All right, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. And we'll take more calls when we come back after the bottom of the hour news here. Again, if you want to prove to me that you're all in, you can do that after the bottom of the hour. A hot off the presses, all-in T-shirt waiting for you. If you do your best, all in commercial. Plus, I have a little bit of a memory of some things that I'm gonna dredge up some difficult memories from last year, not from this show, but from the Scoreboard show. We'll get into that when we come back. This is Jaguars This Week Extra. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, right here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. Cole Pepper here in for the guys who are all in Baltimore right now. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, John Osher. Just about everybody else. This is kind of a quiet place Wednesday afternoon when there's a game on Thursday. Visit Sonny's today and try the new barbecue baskets. The slow-smoked, pulled, and sliced meat baskets for $7.99 or for just a little more. Choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. All right, if you want to prove that you're all in, Let's play another version of this. I'm going to do this one as if I'm Linda Fortunato. If I'm Linda Fortunato, Joe's wife and the one who's really in charge, who's doing this right now, here's what my all-in commercial might sound like if I'm Linda Fortunato. I'm the first one in the radio studio and the last one to leave. I have to deal with Joe Fortunato 24 hours a day, even in the off-season. Nobody will pot up more mics or fire off more commercials than I will. Nobody will tell Cole Pepper what to do on the broadcast to make the fans happier. I give it my all. And did I mention I have to deal with Joe Fortunato in the offseason? I'm Jaguars radio producer Linda Fortunato, and I'm all in. Just what it might sound like if you're going to give us your all-in commercial. You know, that's just what we're going to go with. All right, let's get some calls in here. 800-355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Brian in Ponte Vedra Beach, who's up here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Cole. I was just laughing during your last thing about Linda Fortunato.
She does. She has to put up with Joe 24/7. It's, you know, toughest job in town.
That'd be tough. I bet his socks are even harder to deal with. But anyways, that guy gets around. Hey, this whole thing about Mojo, you know, I work on a contractual basis, and I signed for 3 years. And depending on what I did that year, I don't go back crying to the office and say, hey, I need more money. Yeah, sure, when it's up for renegotiation, I look at the last 2 years and say, hey, this is how I performed, and this is what I did for you, and this is what I did for myself, and everything was great. Is there anything else on the table that I can deal with? But I think he's a little premature in doing that. Even though he had a great rushing record last year, and there's no telling what the guy's going to do this year. What if he gets hurt or something?
Well, sure, and that's part of the reason why he's looking for more money and you know, to get that new signing bonus. Now, I will say this, though. Unless you are one of the 10 or 15 best at your profession in a highly sought-after field that brings in a ton of money based on what you do, it's probably not a realistic comparison to try to compare an NFL contract to contract work for whatever you do, because NFL contracts, you know, just don't work that way. But if Maurice had one more year left on his contract instead of two, this might be a whole different story. Might be.
You're right.
Not necessarily,
right.
But it might be, because it's typical that you don't want a guy playing out the last year of his contract and a chance to leave. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to me what happens at the end of this year if the Jaguars are willing to rework a deal, or if Mojo, if he'd only had one shot to ask for renegotiation, and did he use it up and lose it now? I mean, I that's going to be interesting to see how the Jaguars interpret that.
Well, you know what? He has more to look at and more to look forward to than just an extenuation of a contract or a few more bucks thrown in there, because he's got a home here, and he has been so-called the face of the Jaguars, and he's big time in the community. He's got a lot of charities he works with, and he's very instrumental. And he's very influential with the younger folks and stuff. And,
oh, yeah. He is the most popular Jaguar.
Yeah. And why you'd want to turn your back on that is something that you'd really have to look at your heart and say, hey, what am I all about? Am I about building a franchise here, helping build a franchise? What am I? Am I all in for myself, or what am I going to do here?
Yeah. And that, I think those are some fundamental questions, particularly as it relates to the way that fans are interpreting this. And, again, I'll be interested if we can get Maurice to be candid about this after it's all said and done, to see if he thought that the fan sentiment would have been more on his side than it has been. So,
well, I got to tell you this as a parting shot. I love your pepper sauce, Cole.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and continue good success with that. And I hope that Mojo gets on the team and suits up and ends up on the field.
All right, thank you, Brian. Yeah, there's no doubt. Again, the Jaguars are a better team with Maurice Jones-Drew than they are without Maurice Jones-Drew. No two ways about it. They are not a team that's absolutely lost without him, though, as we've seen in terms of the running game. Again, I've said this to a number of different civic groups that I've been speaking to and folks who've called in and asked me. I think Rashad Jennings is a 1,000-yard rusher. Is he a 1,600-yard rusher? I'm not sure of that. I don't know. I think he's a 1,000-yard rusher, and I'm not sure that the Jaguars need a 1,600-yard rusher in order to win. And, in fact, I think if the Jaguars do have a 1,600-yard rusher, they're less likely to be in the playoffs than if they don't, just from the standpoint of it takes a lot of pounding to get one guy to be out there and running the football. As we saw last year, Maurice, people say, well, he ran the ball so much that the Jaguars didn't have much else. You know, part of Maurice's talent and benefit is that he is durable. He can get out there and he can get it done. Availability supersedes ability, as Gene Smith has often said. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Charles in Atlantic Beach, who's up next here on Jaguars This Week.
Hey, how you doing, Cole?
Good, Charles. How you doing?
Is it time to do? I said I wanted to do my all-in.
Oh, okay. All right. Charles has an all-in commercial, so when you hear the music, go ahead and start, Charles. Charles is all in. Cue the music, Linda.
On game day, I park on Monroe Street. I walk about 2.5 miles to get to Everbank Stadium. During my walk, I am seeing the jet fly over, victory dancing in the end zone, and fireworks going off after each touchdown. As the fans in unison say, "Mojo's changed, Mojo's changed." There's just 2 weeks to the regular season, and I can't wait. I'm Charles Dixon. I'm all in.
There we go. All right, Charles, that's a good one. I'm going to put you on hold. Linda's going to get your contact information because you're right. You're the leader in the clubhouse right now. Good work by you.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll get to Charles here, get him on. He's number one on the board right now. You just drop him on the leaderboard, and he's ready to go. Let's get another call in here before we take a break. Ricky is on the north side. Ricky, you're up here on Jaguars This Week. How you doing? Oh, Linda, can we get the Ricky potted up here? There we go. Len Allen is all in. Ricky, now you're up.
Okay. Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Okay. Hey, the guy who, the last guy who was there on, he kind of stole my, I'm hearing myself over again.
All
can
right.
You hear me?
Turn your radio down if you would there, Ricky.
My radio is off.
Okay. Well, then I don't know what it is. Maybe the spirits of... the spirit of radio is suddenly. Okay. We need to call Geddy Lee and get that cleaned up. But
Jones-Drew did all the charity work in Jacksonville, and I would think most people would be on his side too.
I would have thought that there would have been a bigger fan. That it would have sort of been one of those 50-50 splits from those take. But I haven't gotten that. Have you? I don't know if you've talked to your friends or your folks you talk to about this or folks around town. Have you sensed that it's a lopsided situation where folks are backing Mojo in this rather than the Jaguars?
I sense it's a lopsided situation and everybody is back in Shah Khan.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, exactly.
Depending on some of the radio stations I listen to. And it's kind of surprising to me, like you, because, I mean, Gabbert last year was kind of, you know, iffy. And Rashard Jennings had an injury, right?
He did, yeah.
Okay, I mean, so...
Although both have looked terrific in the preseason this year.
Yeah, but when that fire starts, you know, and he had an injury, you know, who knows, the first game he might go, you know, get hurt or whatever. I don't want that to happen.
Right.
I'm just saying,
But you know what?
Might have a hand,
but
you know,
if that's what you're banking on, you know, in a negotiation to somebody, I would be shocked if that even had entered into Maurice's mind. Maurice feels, and probably rightly so, that there's no question who the number one running back is when he's in here. But the thing is, he's not in here right now. So the number one there is no question who the number one running back in here is right now. It's Rashard Jennings because he's the best running back who's in here. So. That's been the thing for sure, Ricky. I agree with you. It's been surprising to me to a certain extent, and I would bet that it's been very surprising to Maurice. We'll see if he will be candid with us when he does get in here, and we'll hear what he says on that. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, keep up the good work.
All right, man. Appreciate it. 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. A few more minutes to get your all-in commercial in. You heard Charles. He set the pace for you. He's our leader in the clubhouse right now. Jaguars season tickets, group tickets, five-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now, including for the opener, where you're going to have some fun on the Shad Khan side of things, and then also for the Bengals game, by the way, single-game tickets there. That's when it'll be a very special moment in that ball game. You'll want to load that up. That'll be the Fred Taylor game when Fred goes into the Ring of Honor, the pride of the Jaguars. Call 633-2000, visit jaguars.com to get those tickets right now. Back with more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Culpepper in for the guys who are in Baltimore, getting ready for tomorrow night's game between the Jaguars and the Ravens. Back after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, it's a sprint to the finish here. Final 8 minutes, Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Tomorrow night, remember, we'll take to the air at 4:30. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show before the Jaguars take on the Baltimore Ravens. Third and most important preseason game. Starters should play about three quarters. We will not see Eugene Monroe, Will Rackley, Derek Cox or Daryl Smith playing, and we'll likely see guys like Brad Meester and Greg Jones playing a little bit less than the other starters, but the rest of them should be ready to go. So, you know, that's the way. I got a tweet here. Is there a possibility MJD had a physical problem? Is that why he wants more money up front? No, I don't think so. He just wants more money. I want more money. I just know if I hold out, it ain't going to last very long, and I'm probably more easily replaceable than Mojo is. But, you know, again, this is professional football. It is about the money. There's a finite amount of time where these guys can make money in their profession. They try to maximize it, and you have to maximize it when you have the most leverage or when you have some leverage. Whether it was a miscalculation or bad information or what have you, or it didn't, you know, wasn't considered in the right direction, there just is no, you know, you don't have that kind of leverage right now. It's just not as a running back who's 27 years old in the National Football League. It just doesn't. Who has two more years left on his contract? All right, let's go to James in Kentucky, who's up next here on Jaguars This Week. James, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Cole?
Good.
I was just I live out of state, but I still, for the fun of it, I still wanted to do a...
Oh, you want your all-in commercial. All right, this is James in Kentucky with his all-in commercial. Cue it.
I live in Kentucky in a house with two women who do not like football. I make sure to listen to every radio show. I may not be able to be a season ticket holder, but I have to do things no man should have to do to watch the Jaguars play every Sunday. I'm James Mills. I'm the only Jags fan in Kentucky, and I'm all in.
All right. That's good. I like that. I don't want to know the things you've had to do to watch football. I'm going to leave it to you in your own Kentucky style, but that's good work by you. James, thanks a lot. All right. Again, we've got a few more here. We can get through. Let's get a lady in here. Let's go to Barbara in Arlington. Barbara, you're up.
Hey, Cole.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. You've got an all-in commercial for us?
I've got an all-in commercial.
All right, Linda, cue her in.
I love to be in the best section of Everbank Field, the north end zone. That's the section that players bow to, and for good reason. We're the best. I live for the Jags, and I'm Barbara Goff, and I'm all in.
All right, I like it. Barbara, going to put you on hold because you're definitely in the running here.
And Mojo, get in here.
I think that's more or less what Shad Khan said yesterday when he said, you know, the train's leaving the station. Run and get on. Let's do it. Come on, let's go. All right, let's go to where are we going next? Tim? Tim is in St. Augustine. Tim, you're up here on Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna.
All right, I'm ready to try this commercial.
All right, here we go. Linda, cue Tim in here for his all-in commercial.
I live in St. Augustine. I drive 50 miles to see home games, and I'll be there from the beginning of the Vikings to the Super Bowl. Every tackle, every sack, every pass, every field goal, every touchdown, every win, I'll be there from the beginning to the end. I'm Tim Clare, and a Jaguar fan, and I'm all in.
All right, I like it. Right in the contention. You know what? As a matter of fact, put Tim on hold there. Tim, Barbara, and also Charles, who we had earlier, you're all going to win, so hang on. I want to get some information from you, but you're all going to be winners here, so hang in there. And we've got, I think, time for one more here. Let's go to Pablo on the south side, who's up here on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Pablo, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. If Mojo, Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Mojo, is listening, I want him to know that he has someone on the south side that has his back. I got his back. He's doing so much for this team. And for people to disrespect him at this stage, it's time for him to move on and probably hook up with a Super Bowl team.
Remember, he's under contract. It's not his choice to move on. And I'm going to tell you this. I would be flabbergasted if the Jaguars traded him. All right, he would say, quote, would he be open to a trade? Fine. But I just don't see it happening. One of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to come in here, he's going to play under his current contract, or he's going to sit, and you can't sit. If he sits for 2 years, he'll still have 2 years left on his contract. You can't expire your contract by not playing. So he doesn't have any leverage.
So what if a team wants him and takes care of all his fines, but desperately needs him, and they'll pay all his fines? Let him go?
No, they would have to trade for him. Again, they would have to trade. It would have to. I don't know what a reasonable price to expect in a trade would be for Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm guessing a third or fourth round pick might be about what you would get. Running backs who already have a lot of tread off the tires are not in high demand in this day and age in the National Football League. That doesn't mean he's not a terrific player. He is. I mean, he led the league last year in rushing, but he's under contract, and if the Jaguars aren't going to trade him, which I don't believe they are, one of two things, again, is going to happen. Either he's going to play under the current contract, or he's not going to play at all. I think Maurice is reasonable enough that eventually, at some point, he's going to say, "All right, I tried it, didn't work. You know, it's water under the bridge. So let's move on."
So if I told you the team would be sold, would you be surprised?
Yes.
Prior to being sold to Mr. Khan.
Oh, no, we knew that. Yeah, we knew that was going to happen at some point. But again, it's not going to get sold now. Listen.
I've got a prediction. In 2 years, it will be called the London Jaguars. In 2 years.
All right, Pablo, I'll write down that prediction for you. And in 2 years, call me back and tell me how wrong you were. Thanks for the call. All right. Again, both Barbara, Tim, there, stay on the line. Charles, all three of you are going to win an all-in T-shirt for your all-in commercials. And if you want to make a video commercial, go on the Jaguars Facebook page, and you can see some of the details right there. Tomorrow night, Jaguars and Ravens, 4:30 for the Sonny's Drill Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show before a 7:30 kickoff. For Linda Fortunato, filling in for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper, filling in for the other guys, Thanks for listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, and good night from Jaguar Central.